Bygma er officiel partner af Team Visma, Lisa Bike og Jonas Vingegaard. Og sammen med Airtox har vi under turen skarpe priser på de populære letvægt sikkerhedssko fra Airtox, samt konkurrencer i butikken. Kom ned i din lokale Bygma. Bygma. Ikke for amatører.
From Geico Subconscious News, I'm Tammy Racing Thoughts, broadcasting from your brain. You think you live in a pretty safe place, but you just heard about a break-in 4 miles away, which isn't close, but it isn't far either, you know? Art Palpitations is on the scene.
I sure am, Tammy, and I don't even know why I drove out here, because as you know, you got customized renter's insurance through Geico, so your stuff is covered.
Oh, well, that's great. Any sign of crime there, Art?
Just some light littering, Tammy, but like they say, a little litter can lead to a lot.
Wise words. It feels good to worry less. It feels good to Geico.
Det er tid til at gå bag om facaden. Yeah! Velkommen til Behind the Vinyl med Darren Edwards og Niklas Müller. My Rock.
Alrighty, we're back with another edition of Behind the Vinyl. Here with Niklas, and yes, we have the pleasure of having Jeff Tate with us today.
Well, hello.
Welcome to Stocker.
Thank you.
Yeah, another one of our bucket list guests, I would
absolutely
say.
I would say so, yeah. Been a Queensryche fan and a fan for a long, long time.
Oh, thank you.
Yep.
So the normal Behind the Vinyl, we're going to break down a record. This time we're going to break down Empire, coming up to the 30th anniversary, so it's very fitting. You're obviously on tour playing the record as well. So we're going to quiz you, you know, ask you some questions, get some insight, get some gossip on it, and we'll go from there. But let's start off by listening to the opening track.
We'll be right back.
So here's something I've always wanted to ask. Is it true the story where you tried to audio record an actual drug deal?
Yes.
For the intro of that song?
Yes, it is.
You were driving the car, I understand?
I was driving the car, yeah.
What happened?
Well, at the time, the previous album, Rage Forwarder, if I have to go back a little bit, backstory, was all about creating music out of environmental sounds. Mm-hmm. Sort of a predecessor to the industrial rock movement, I guess I'd say. And so we just got in the habit of recording everything. Everything we went, everywhere we went, we recorded. We saw a drug deal going on as we were parked at some fast food restaurant or something like that.
In Vancouver, right?
Yeah, in Vancouver. Right. And so we tried to walk over there and, you know, hold our microphones nearby so we could pick up the information. And they, of course, got spooked and ran away. But we got some of it. And they're... some of the deal appears in certain parts of the album, and I'm never going to tell you where those are. But, there's all kinds of weird things in Queensryche albums, all kinds of strange backmaskings and reverse things and conversations that take place, all kinds of things in the records.
Nice. But also, I mean, what was the mindset going into Empire? You had Rage for Order, you have Operation Mindcrime. What was the thoughts behind the album, writing songs and so on? Because I saw an old interview, which was from like, I think when you played London on the Empire Tour, where you said like there was no theme or anything like that. Just going to go in and do whatever, kind of.
Yeah, I think we were kind of waiting for something to hit us. Because we'd sort of begun working with themes and concepts, and it became sort of a thing for us, you know. And with Empire, we wanted to take a step away from that and just concentrate on songwriting. And I think Chris came up with a really good analogy that the songwriting was like creating a house of cards, and you create this very complex structure, and then you pull away all the cards until what's left is only what's needed to hold the house up. And that was kind of our philosophy going into it, was we'd relied heavily on production and sound effects and you know, creating atmospheres and things like that in previous records. In this record, we just really wanted to pull all that stuff back and concentrate on what the integral parts of the song were, you know.
Another hungry look in her eyes again, facing the floor, the hunt begins. Skin tight leather provides my pleasure.
With my peace,
it's
just
pressure. Walk away and leave forever.
Do I dare?
Pretending, don't speak the word. Forbidden sin relenting, I barely heard. Stop the moves of entry, blur my vision,
wake my fear,
I'm a fighter to me.
Så er den fikset. Lad os så komme videre. Behind the Vinyl på My Rock.
See? grows longer every day. Fortunes are lost on the women I've seen, but without you
find that quite free?
It was a different approach. Yeah, it required a lot of discipline because there's a tendency when you have an idea to sort of layer up every idea you have on something, you know. And in this respect, it was, you know, taking things away, you know, so it was a different approach than what we'd ever done before.
Cool. Also, that with that phone message,
before Empire, yeah.
Yeah, but just a story where it says it's starting to hit me like a two-ton heavy thing. What was the thing behind that one?
Well, it was my friend Randy.
Yeah.
Who
was in Myth.
Randy Gain, yeah. The keyboard player in Myth, and later toured with Queensryche on several tours and played with me in different solo configurations I've done over the years, and actually is staying at my house right now while I'm on tour.
All right.
Watching our dogs. It was him. Yeah, I called him. We were supposed to go do something, and he was too tired to go out, and basically the message says it all, you know?
All right. So it was an actual message. It wasn't meant for the album like that?
No,
it was just
a message.
Scripted.
Yeah.
Oh, it was?
Yeah, just something that he said. He was always saying interesting, strange things.
Right, okay. So I always thought it was something scripted, something that you thought of for the album to tie in.
It was just him lying on the sofa watching TV. He was watching the Blackadder series.
Oh.
And so you could hear that in the background if you listen to it carefully.
All right.
You can hear, like, certain words from the Blackadder show. I probably shouldn't say that because there's probably a copyright on it.
I'm going to go back and listen, that's sure. Oh, that's really cool.
You got a cardboard house. Live there all the time. Keep your memories tied to string. The face that many once adored. 20 years gone.
you lost your dream. Mama watched you every move, but now you're all alone. Yeah, she's been gone for a while. Daddy lives in double gold, 30 years past too slow. He's the only one could make you smile.
So this came out in August 20th, 1990, and you also worked with Peter Collins, who you had worked with before. How was it to work with him again on this?
It was great. Yeah, Peter was a wonderful producer. He was an administrative producer, meaning that he was like the teacher, like the guy that kept control of the classroom that was going crazy. And, you know, he was, now class, calm down. We have to finish this record now and do everything right. It has to be on time and under budget or you won't be able to make another record. Remember that. It's constantly saying that kind of thing. He really kept the project rolling, kept it, you know, on budget. When you do a record project, there's a lot of details, you know, and sometimes from an artistic standpoint, you get lost in those details and you forget where you are. And he was very good about keeping everybody on track, you know, and making appointments for, you know, studio sessions at different places because the record was recorded in quite a few different studios around the world. And, you know, he would make all those arrangements and the different voiceovers and musicians that we would use, you know, he would make those arrangements for those people as well, you know, so he was very good at that kind of thing. And then in the studio, you know, he would listen to the song and he would give his feedback, which we always, you know, were anxious to hear his opinion about the song. And, you know, he would say things like, I think we can do better. That was a good one. not quite right yet. You know, these were encouraging ideas, encouraging thoughts.
Right.
Or, that's it. We're finished for the day. You know, that's a good one. We like to hear that. He was a clever man and had a really good ear for catchy things, you know, that oftentimes from an artistic standpoint you miss. You know, you just don't recognize something that's going to be catchy or catch the ear, you know?
Right.
And then again, he also said, I don't think Silent Lucidity should be on the record.
Oh. Right.
But that was before it was finished.
Right.
And once it was finished and he heard it in its entirety, the way it was meant to be heard, he changed his mind and said, absolutely, this is going on the record.
Oh, okay. But a song like Silent Lucidity, big hit, while recording it, when it was done, listening back to it for the first couple of times, did you feel like, you know, this is something, this could really become?
No, I never.
Right.
I can't speak for the other guys in the band, but I never, ever equate something I like with being like monetarily successful. It's more about, wow, does it move me? Does it make me feel something? Am I crying? Am I laughing? Am I jumping up and down? Am I throwing my fist in the air? You know, how does the music make me feel, you know? And definitely after we heard the song put together all the way, it was definitely a moving experience.
Yeah.
And I think all of us were surprised at the success that the song had from a commercial standpoint. Definitely, you know, wasn't ever expected.
Næsen i sporet og pick up i rillen. Behind the vinyl på My Rock.
Still waiting for the rain to fall. making love in the rain. Strange how laughter looks like crying with no sound. Raindrops taste like tears without the pain. I'm not much without you. Can't leave if I wanted to. Maybe that's why you stay around. But tonight I sit here turning the bar. I face the floor 100 times in an hour. And check the voicemail for a message you brought.
No,
all alone, it's a kind of rainy night. Without you, waiting by the phone.
Was up for 2 Grammys.
Yeah.
How did that feel? So you obviously you were gaining success, Operation Mindcrime, you were growing and growing, and then Empire hit, went in at number 7, headlining tour, 18, like an 18-month tour, right, your biggest tour to date, and then 2 Grammy nominations. How were you feeling then?
I was trying to figure out what that meant. Right. Like Grammy nomination? What the hell is that? Never even came into my thought process, you
right
know? And our management called and said, okay, well, we have you booked on the Grammys, it's a show and you're going to be playing your song, so prepare for that. Okay, well, we had been playing the song, so we were very prepared, but then we got on the show and found out that we were the only band playing live. Everybody else was lip syncing to
right,
everything,
yeah, of course,
so
right,
we weren't really prepared to lip sync and we didn't need to, so we thought, well, we're just going to play it live.
Right.
Well, the production wasn't set up for that. So we were like this anomaly, you know, for the show. And the producers were like, oh, my God, they're playing live? Okay, well, what do we have to do to make that happen? And so they had to go through all this special arrangement and everything. And so finally, you know, there we were on the stage. And there's the audience. And there's a commercial break. And the producer is counting down from the commercial break, you know, like, you know, 60, 59, 58, 57. And almost on every number he recites, the crew is plugging in these guitar chords into the amp. And every time they do, it goes, making these horrible sounds, right? And we're trying to be calm, and we're in our places like this, you know, and just waiting and waiting until they figure it out. And it got down to 4 seconds. 4, 3, they put one in and it was silent. And we, okay. And I was like, I took a deep breath. And we had these partitions that opened up.
Yep.
And then we played the song.
All right.
Nice. It was the most stressful situation I think I've ever been in.
Wow.
Know? Oh.
Cool. Great thing to do, but seriously, to have played the Grammys. That's a
yeah
really cool thing.
It was a cool show. It was it was fun, you know, after that, I guess. No, absolutely, it was not fun. It was stressful.
Yeah.
But the afterthought.
But the after party was good.
Last night the one came down, Tim, Dan, and Chinatown. And I said their only crime was being the wrong place at the wrong time. Too bad people say, what's wrong with the kids today?
I tell you right now, they've got nothing to lose. They're building empires.
Johnny used to work after school at the set of a show. Gotta hustle if he wants an education. Yeah, he's got a long way to go. Now he's out on the streets all day, selling crack to the people who pay.
Got an AK-47 for his best friend. Business, the American way.
The Vinyl med Darren Edwards og Niklas Müller. My Rock.
what about, how did you find doing like 18 months on the road from then? How was that?
Well, that was, you know, that was rough.
Yeah,
that was rough. But, you know, I think we were resilient and young and, you know, able to make it happen. But I think it was a point where the band was sort of starting to fragment somewhat, you know, mostly because we had a, in my opinion, we had a philosophical division within the band. And, you know, I was guilty of being on one side pretty hard. You know, we got presented with this idea of action figure dolls.
Right.
In our images.
Oh,
back then.
And that just, it just freaked me out. Right. You know, that wasn't what I got into music for.
Wow.
And I just, you know, I kind of went crazy and said, absolutely not. I'm never ever going to do that.
Wow.
Some people wanted it to be an action figure doll. I didn't. So we had a philosophical difference, you know, and that's kind of the name of the game with the band. We had definite lines, you know.
Right.
So difficult to navigate that, you know.
Wow. Action heroes.
Yeah.
Sounds really cool now.
What, babe? Okay, yeah. Action figure dolls.
Yeah.
Imagine that. The big GT across my chest.
Yeah.
A cape? Absolutely.
Cape would, you would look good in a cape.
Gotta have a cape.
Absolutely.
You can't be an action figure doll unless you have a cape.
Of course
no,
not.
No,
of
no.
course not. Then you're just a doll.
Yeah.
That's all you are. Yeah.
I was kind of wondering, the song Last Time in Paris.
Mm-hmm.
Was that recorded during the album? It was.
Yeah.
But
it was, funny enough, years after the Empire album was released, we had gone. There was this thing about all your recordings are going to fall apart. All the magnetic particles that keep the tape together
are
going to fall apart unless you bake them and then preserve them and then record them digitally. So we did that. And in doing so, we found all these unreleased songs. Songs that we had written and forgot about.
Yeah.
Which is the strangest feeling, I got to tell you. There I was, singing this song, words I had written.
Right.
But completely gone from my mind. I had no memory of it all.
Huh.
But yes, to answer your question, Last Time in Paris was written around the same time.
Hush now. Just begun. There's a place I like to hide, a doorway that I run through in the night. Relax, child. Magic new demand.
in silent lucidity.
Another thing, the lyrical and the not the concept of the album, but the thread of it, you know, in regards to the drugs and the, you know, the often the difficult times for youth and so on and so forth. 30 years old, the album, but it's still extremely relevant to today. When you're singing now, it's possibly even more relevant to the way society is now. Would you agree?
Yeah, in some respects, yeah. Yeah, I think we move lightning fast in some areas of our societal growth, you know?
Yep.
I mean, we are very connected worldwide now, and that's an amazing advance in civilization, I think, that we're all communicating and we're all telling our individual stories and we're all collecting information worldwide now. Amazing.
Yep.
And I think we're going to be in the next few years making leaps and bounds in social issues because of that. But there's a lot of things that don't move fast, you know, and those things we notice now, you know, 30 years later, and we think about that and recognize that, you know, some things stay the same. You know, there's a need in humans for drugs and for the release of the shift of reality. You know, we crave that in a lot of ways, you know, through alcohol or drug use or whatever, but it's a sort of a basic human need at times to just separate and get out of yourself, you know. And so that hasn't changed. You know, there's still rampant homelessness, mental illness.
Yep.
Those things haven't changed. In fact, no. They've probably gotten worse now, you know. I know where I live in Washington State in the United States, We did away with all the mental institutions and privatized them.
Right.
So they just turned all the mental patients that needed mental care, they just turned them loose on the streets. And so they're walking around trying to take care of themselves
right,
as best
right,
they can,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
So it's a interesting time, you
yeah.
know, to sort of recognize that and evaluate it and see where we are, you know? And it's interesting when you play the music and you know it's 30 years old and you hear some of the same things that are happening then or happening now. It's odd and
yeah.
strange, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I see that. Yeah.
All eyes were staring, you floated through the room, armed with your razor, smile cut into the bone. My voice felt useless. You flashed a quick hello, feeling the fool. Could you tell?
By my watering eye, hand on heart, a woman.
Reklamer slut og tilbage i vinylen. Behind the Vinyl på My Rock.
That was one thing that for me, I was a teenager in the 80s and with Queensryche also, and with Rage for Order and Mindcrime and Empire also, I mean, the lyrics, you know, were quite different to all the other stuff that I listened to. I was heavily into Motley Crue and Rat. And
very different from that.
Very different, which was all about, you know, partying and women and girls and all that. Yeah. And then you have Queensryche that really stood out in that way, which was way more serious, mm-hmm. and wrote about stuff that, yeah, as you mentioned, problems in the society and all that. And that was really interesting. You always read about, like, the band back then, that it was like the thinking man's or thinking man metal or whatever they called it in Kerrang magazine or wherever it was.
Now we would say thinking person's metal.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, but it really stood out.
You're on the bill with these bands.
Yeah,
you know, you played Monsters of the Rock. You know, with there you have the Black Crowes. You know,
yeah.
And it's all about, you know, weed and so on.
Oh,
and so
sure,
forth.
Yeah, yeah.
And, so it's that must have been interesting as well.
I just did a show with Chris Robinson's band this last summer.
Oh.
Yeah. Kind of funny, you know, or interesting timing, you know.
Right,
being in the same concert with him,
right.
Festival, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. That was the first time I saw Queensryche in Copenhagen on the Monsters of Rock tour with Metallica, you guys,
AC/DC,
and the Black Crowes.
What an amazing tour that was, I tell you.
That was killer.
Man, so many memories from that tour. So many crazy drunken nights from that tour. Because, you know, it's Brian Johnson's fault. Although I love him and he's quite a gentleman and very generous.
Yeah.
He would, every night after the show, he would reserve a particular pub in whatever city we were at.
Right.
He would book it and invite everybody there. And so the place was packed, right? And he never, ever let you pay for your drink all night long.
Right.
And so,
sounds,
you know.
Horrible.
Absolutely horrible. It was horrible. Imagine. Anything you could want, you know,
right.
For free and at your whim, you know.
Yeah.
Man, it required ultimate discipline.
Well, yeah, let's flip that because your instrument is your voice.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
How did... Are you affected?
Yeah, he nearly destroyed me.
Love it.
Oh, no, man. it was a wonderful tour, and Brian is a very generous and lovely man. And the band AC/DC is absolutely hands down my favorite band I ever toured with.
Right.
I wasn't like a huge AC/DC fan when we went on tour with them, but afterwards I bought all the records.
Right. Way to go. Nice.
They're amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, amazing.
That's great.
Didn't do that with Motley Crue.
Say no more.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that was a great show. And
well, you know what AC/DC had was they had clever lyrics.
Right. Right.
Very clever.
Sure.
You know,
yeah.
There was sarcasm and
tongue-in-cheek.
Tongue-in-cheek. There were so many different aspects
She's
to
got
what,
balls.
Their, what their lyrics were. They weren't just like, you know, vulgarity.
No.
You know, they had vulgar moments, but it was laced with humor, you know, and that's brilliant.
Yeah.
And then they had great, like, grooves and...
Hell yeah.
Great guitar riffs.
The groove and the melodies are there.
Absolutely.
And the nicest people you ever want to meet.
Right.
Yeah. But also on that, when you did your own tour, the headline tour, and you played over, there were so many dates on that tour, and especially when you played the U.S., because you played Mindcrime as well on that tour in its entirety. How did that come about, playing that album in its entirety, and you have a new album out? And
well, because we never got to do it.
Right,
never got to headline that album, and we always wanted to play it. In its entirety.
Yeah.
That's how it was meant to be played.
Yeah.
And we had the opportunity, so we took it.
Right.
You know, and did it. And a lot of people had never heard of us before Empire. And once they did, we thought, well, let's give them some of what we do and what we're about, so let's play this, you know?
Pick up
En australier og en svensker går ind på en bar, og ud kommer Behind the Vinyl. Behind the Vinyl på My Rock.
We'll wrap it up. Thanks for your time. Enjoy the tour. You're out there playing the record now, 30 years on.
Yeah,
and Rage Water.
And exactly.
Yeah. Two really different albums.
Yeah, very.
Very different albums.
Very different.
Two of my absolute favorites.
I've only done, I think, three shows now.
Right.
Three shows or maybe two shows. Two shows, I think.
Yeah.
And early, last show we did, I really recognized how different the albums were.
Yeah.
Really
oh, yeah.
different
oh, yeah.
presentation and feeling. And, you know, Rage is so dark.
It is. Yeah. It is.
Know? And Empire requires a complete shift of your mind when you present it. You know, yeah. you have to completely divorce yourself from yeah. Rage now yeah. and yeah. get into Empire, which is
oh, yeah.
a lot lighter. You know, although some of the subject matter is... you know, quite heavy, like Della Brown, of course,
yeah.
you know, dealing with homelessness, you know, and resistance, dealing with environmentalism and the challenges to that. But a lot of it's more up-tempo and more lighter.
Yeah, you
know?
Yeah.
So it's a whole different presentation.
I just got to ask, because when you did kind of get close to you on Rage for Order, because I'd never heard of Dal Bello, and later on I came to love the stuff she did. But was she, because she's Canadian, right?
Yep.
Or, yeah. Mm-hmm. Was she like a well-known artist
no.
when you covered her? She wasn't, right?
Not at all.
No.
No, nobody ever heard of her.
Right.
Yeah.
That's
so
a good, that's
I
a
think
good
we,
song. It's
maybe
a good
we
cover.
Kinda helped.
Yeah, absolutely. Hell yeah.
No, she's a very important artist, and she has made several amazing records that are
yeah.
definitely worth listening to.
Absolutely. I love yeah. the one, I think it's one after Gonna Get Close to You. She. With
yeah.
Let's Tango and all that.
Back amazing.
In Black on Black, whatever
yeah,
it's called.
Black on Black.
Oh, love that stuff. Great stuff. Cool. Okay.
Excellent. Thanks for your time.
Thank you so much.
Enjoy the tour, and hopefully we'll see you again in Stockholm sometime soon.
Hope so.
Yeah. Cool.
Love Stockholm.
can almost taste the freedom. There's a warm wind from the south, hoist the sail and we'll be gone by. There's not much I can do.
Vend pladen, og sidste nummer er spillet, så er Behind the Vinyl slut. Tough luck. Darren og Niklas er tilbage næste søndag kl. 16 med endnu et klassisk album. Og indtil da kan du fange denne og alle de forrige episoder som podcast på radioplay.dk/myrock. Adios.